The title of today's message is Stop the Foolishness. Stop the foolishness. The foolishness has got to stop. And we're going to start out with audience participation while you're still warmed up. I want you to look, find three people, one at a time, that is, look them in the eye, and I want you to tell them, stop the foolishness. This is audience participation. I want you to find, go to those people.
Stop the foolishness.
The foolishness has got to stop. Stop the foolishness. Stop the foolishness. Stop the foolishness. Stop the foolishness. This foolishness has just got to stop. That's right. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us all kinds of ways at all kinds of places. Don't be a fool. This is not people talking. This is the Bible talking. Don't be a fool. Avoid foolishness. Does it not tell you that? Especially in the book of Proverbs, does it not?
Amen.
Amen. Now, so we just told three people, at least three people, I hope. Stop the foolishness. So this message could be for you and it could be for somebody else. Here's what I want to tell you, though. If you're going to use this message, stop the foolishness, for somebody else, I just need you to understand something going in. When I tell you that you need to maybe take this message and help somebody else stop the foolishness, I need you to know on your way in that I only half want you to do it. I'm going to tell you why. Because people who happen to be fools, who've chosen to be fools or get caught up in foolishness, are very committed to their foolishness. I just need you to know going in. Oh, Pastor, I learned some good stuff. I'm going to go help somebody stop the foolishness. I need you to understand that they will be a tough nut to crack, and no pun intended, unless they're a nut. Amen?
Amen?
So just know that people get really committed. They get wedded to their foolishness. Amen, am I right? Anybody know that? Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Now here's the thing. Let me turn a little corner and catch you and put my brakes on, put it in reverse and catch back up with you. Well, if the foolishness happens to be yours and you decide you want to get yourself right from all your foolishness, you will also find yourself kind of stuck with your foolishness. You'll realize how committed you are to your folly and to being a fool. Fools are more committed to being fools than we are committed to doing whatever we try to do. So when you roll up on somebody and say, you know what, you need to stop the foolishness. By the way, the foolishness is actually messing up your life. By the way, the foolishness is most of the reason for your problems. By the way, the foolishness, if you would stop it, your life would be better. Let me just tell you, they will still be committed to the foolishness. They will commiserate, then they will get you on the phone and tell you all the stuff that they don't like about being a fool. But that's not going to change the fact that if you give them some advice that might help them out of it, they will stay committed. They will then turn it all around. They will change the conversation into an excuse fest for why it's okay to continue to be a fool. The word fool sounds tough. Unless you're joking, oh, you're just a fool, you're so silly, you're so crazy. You just turn those things around, different context. Now you go, oh, who are you calling a fool? Oh, we're going to throw down. Who are you calling a fool? Let me get my, who are you calling crazy? How dare you call me silly? It's all about context and who says it. So the Bible says, don't be a fool. The Bible says, don't stop your folly. That's what the Bible says. And so you would imagine as we learn about stop the foolishness that we would be learning from the book of Proverbs, right? And yet, we're still in Psalms. Last week we learned from a psalm that was more like a prophetic writing. And today we're going to be learning from the book of Psalms, Psalm 14, to be exact. And actually, if you look at Psalm 53, it's almost identical, almost. almost identical. So it was this topic was important enough for David to have it written down twice. Amen?
Amen.
Psalm 14. And we're only going to look at verses 1 through 4. What's the topic today? What's the title of this message? Stop the foolishness. We're going to learn some things today. Because as soon as we say stop the foolishness, we all have something in our minds. We all have a picture, our own picture, our own word picture. If I say don't be a fool, you got something in your mind about who has been a fool, and that's the picture you have in your mind. Or whatever you think being a fool is all about, that's what you have in your mind. Amen?
Amen.
But just remember, if you know you're being a fool, you know you acting a fool, you know you caught up in foolishness, you know how committed you are to it. I can get up here right now, I can try to talk you out of it. And you'll run from me, you'll avoid me, or you'll come up with excuses. Stop the foolishness. Sounds good, but it ain't easy. Amen?
Amen?
So if you are a fool or being foolish, what happens, it ultimately causes you to do foolish things, make foolish decisions, and it reflects on your God. It actually tells us something about what you think about God. The extent to which you are committed to exercising your right to be a fool. So we're looking here at Psalm chapter 14. I'm assuming you all have found it.
Amen.
And I have to admit that verse number 1 is the focal point of what I have to tell you. However, there are nuggets down in verses, I think, 3 and 4 that we cannot do without so that we can fully expose this issue of being a fool. Amen? You can't stop a problem. You can't end a problem until you know you have a problem. And so you need to know clearly what that problem looks like so you don't confuse it. Amen?
Amen.
Stop the foolishness. It's just got to stop. So as we look here at Psalm 14, verse 1, it's just a beautiful verse. And this first line is really ultimately my anchor. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. I don't want to be up here by myself today. I don't mind being up here by myself, but I don't want to be in it by myself. How about that?
Amen.
So let's focus on verse 1, and I'm just going to focus on that first statement. I'm sure by now you've read it. Amen. You've read it by now. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, nobody wants to be attached to this kind of saying, right? This is one of those times where sort of the male language in the Bible is welcomed by the women because they say, well, the Bible said his heart. Wasn't talk about me. Those foolish men. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We are talking about a fool, right? They are talking about a fool. But before we jump to conclusions, because I'm sure as soon as we said it, the fool said in his heart, first of all, there is no God, you immediately have some conclusions you probably jumped to. But before we let that settle into your mind too much, let's take a closer look. Amen?
Amen.
Can we slow down and pay attention? Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That just sounds like I could keep on driving. I don't need to stop off there. That doesn't apply to me. Amen?
Amen?
Let's take a good look. Are you willing to go there with me?
Amen.
Are you willing to open your minds up and learn something today?
Amen.
So in order to delve deeply into this section of verses, and in particular this first section of verse 1, which again says, the fool has said in his or her heart, there is no God. We must first understand, what is a fool? Now we read it and you imagine you know what a fool is. Amen?
Amen?
But let's break this thing down. A fool specifically is someone that lacks sense, that has no sense. That's S-E-N-S-E, sense. However, if you are a fool or dabble in too much foolishness, you might have no C-E-N-T-S. So being a fool can leave you broke. How many of you have been a fool and ended up with less money than you started? How many of you have dabbled in foolishness that ended up having you have a negative in your account and you had nobody to blame but who?
Yourself.
Stop the foolishness. And some of you have dabbled in foolishness and you've gotten delivered from foolishness, right? You got walls built up around you against that foolishness because you know you don't want to go back there again.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you have gotten into the, you can open, you can put out a shingle and actually have a foolishness business. Come on by here and I'll help you get cured of your foolishness. I will equip you to help you not to go back to your fool. I will help you dig your way out of the foolishness, and I will help you stay out of the foolishness because I know because I've been a fool. Hallelujah. Stop this foolishness. It's got to stop. So a fool is someone who lacks sense. You ever known anybody who didn't have sense? Well, before we get too sure about that, let's talk about what sense is. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we all have a common definition of what sense is. Sense is the feeling or awareness that something, listen to me carefully, is the case. So the fool is someone who lacks sense. Sense is the feeling or awareness that something is the case. So having sense, which the fool does not, is the ability to recognize that something is the case. The ability to recognize that something is the case. Now you got to add just a little bit more on it to finally get to a fool. It's the ability to recognize that something is the case when it is obvious and straightforward. Rocket science applies to our lives here on Earth and on other planets. It's real science, but you need education and special training to get rocket science. But some things in life just require basic sense. And when you don't have that basic sense, it makes you a fool. A quick illustration so you can understand that a fool is somebody that does not have sense. And sense is the ability to recognize something is simply the case. You ever heard it? There's a saying, I got knocked senseless. By the way, when I was thinking about this, when I was preparing, you young people and all the newfangled upbringings and stuff like that, you come to mind a lot. And so I ain't judging or anything like that, but I thought about the fact that, you know, when you get knocked senseless, you don't lose your senses. You can still smell and taste, and sometimes you get knocked out where you see you get woozy, but you can certainly get knocked senseless, believe it or not, and have none of your five senses affected. But I thought about my mother said, I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. I will knock you back a month. I'll slap the taste out of your mouth. That was funny. That came to my mind, parenthetically. Sorry. Amen. But when you're knocked senseless, I want you to think about the traumatic concussion syndrome, and I want you to think about what happens when somebody is knocked senseless on the football field. When you're knocked senseless, when you don't have sense, then simple questions that are asked of you or simple tasks that you're asked to do, which should be obviously easy to do, you cannot reliably do because you've been knocked what?
Senseless.
Now you understand. Mm-hmm. So a fool is somebody that does not have sense. So a fool does not have the natural ability, they lack the ability or the awareness or, this is important, willingness to recognize something that should be obvious and straightforward. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
So here's the thing. So when it says here that a fool says in his heart, and notice it's in his heart. He's not saying it out loud. It's in his heart. This is a reflection of the inner man, that there is no God. Here's what he's not doing. He is not practicing atheism. Because we're thinking, oh, yeah, that stupid old atheist. Anybody knows there's a God. We drive on by and say, yep. No, no, no. So the fool has said in his heart, inside, I thought about Joey. I thought about you and Joey. You know, deep down inside, not right down in here. He says there is no God. I just need you to know, being a fool is not equivalent to atheism, even in this context. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Let me put it this way for you. You can believe in God, did you know this, and still not believe that he is God. You can believe in God. We're not talking about denying the existence of God. You can even believe in God. You can sit on the front row and still not believe that he is God. You can sit on the front one and be the deacon and still have no sense. Still be a fool. You can be an ordained fool too. So what the fool is saying here, when he says that there is no God, rather than saying that he doesn't exist, he's saying that there is no moral or ethical supreme to judge over him. That's what he's saying. He's saying that he should be able to live any way he wants to live. He's saying that he should be right to do anything he chooses to do, anything that he prefers to do, anything he wants to do, or even anything that man condones. Amen?
Amen.
It's not that this fool has no beliefs. It's not that this fool has no constructs. But this fool believes that he should be able to do whatever he wants to do. And there is no supreme moral or ethical authority that should govern him or her. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Not that one doesn't exist, but not one that should, that I got to look to before I can do whatever I feel like I need to do. And not one that cares enough to do something about it if I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing. That's what he's talking about. He has no sense. He has the inability or unwillingness to recognize what should be obvious and straightforward, such as, of course, there is a God. Of course, there's a supreme moral and ethical authority. But the fool will decide in their heart. How do you know what's in their heart? Look at their life. You ain't no mind reader, but I can read your life. I can watch the movie of your life. I can't read your thoughts, but they're made very clear by the manifestations of the decisions you make. And you can hide for a minute. You might be able to hide for an hour. You might be able to hide for a day, maybe for a little bit of while. But when somebody gets to stand back and look at enough of the movie of your life, you're going to have to admit, I am a fool. You can't deny foolishness over time. Are you with me so far?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. And so the fool, his life reveals his heart. And so while he may very well sit even on the front row and have titles even, his God may well be the God of his religion, but the difference with a fool and a God man is the fool God is not the God of their life. That's the difference. We're not talking about the fool being an atheist, but he's not the, he may be the God of your religion, but he's not the God of your life. That's the difference. So then you can do just about any old thing you want to do and justify. You can do just about any old thing you want to do and don't even feel like you got to justify. You can keep on keeping on and being a fool all along. Are you guys with me so far? So I hope that we're now clear on what a fool is, exactly what a fool is. You should be able to recognize foolishness and have no sense. They don't either don't have the ability or the awareness or the willingness to recognize and acknowledge what should be very plain for all to see. Straightforward, ain't hard. It's not rocket science. You don't need to go to college for it. Amen? Although we do have some educated fools, no doubt about that. Now, there's a couple more concepts and points that I want to make so that we can complete the picture and understanding of this foolishness that needs to stop. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to finish verse 1 real quick. It says, they are, so we're talking about fools, right? It said there is no God. What does that look like? There is no moral and ethical supreme that would judge and have authority. It says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And then we go to verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did what?
Understand.
And what?
Yes,
this is what he looked down looking for. Are there any that understand and seek God? If you look at Psalm 53, it reads more like any that understand that seek God, as opposed to and. So this is what God looked down and asked himself. Now, the subject hasn't changed. We're still talking about the fool. We know what a fool is, right? We know what the manifestations of a fool are, and we know what it says about what he thinks about God. So whenever we are the fool and we are foolish, it tells the same story. Let's look at this word understand. It's translated into understand. We're still talking about the same subject. We're still learning about the same topic, and I won't be before you much longer. Isn't that a good thing? Subject hasn't changed. The word is translated as understanding here. Let's break it down. It means that someone pays close attention. They are circumspect in their lives. They're paying close attention to their lives. And when you pay close attention to all of the various events in your life, what happens is you come to the conclusion, if you're paying close attention, really, with your eyes wide open, if you woke, you come to the conclusion that I need God. Need God. No, it's not just a convenience. No, it's not just something that I might decide I want to do or not do. I actually, looking at my life, honestly, carefully, thoughtfully, in a circumspect way, oh my God. It's like the prodigal son said, oh my God, he came to himself. I need, say it with me, I need God. All three words are very important. I, ownership, recognition about me, not somebody else. Need, not convenience, not want, not can do with or without. I need, not a car, not a house, not a career. I need God. So this word understanding means to pay close attention and to be circumspect about your life and to come away wisely with the conclusion that you need God. And here's what happens. Here's how you know that somebody's come to that conclusion. It's now very natural. As a matter of fact, it's automatic that you would pursue God. When you see somebody pursuing God in their lives, they've come to the conclusion that they need it. If you miss a taxi and they don't stop for you, you say, well, I'll wait for the other one. But when you can conclude that that's the only taxi that's going to take me where I need to go and I need to get there, you will chase that taxi. If it's your woman and you just want to be with her and she is through with you and you done changed and you got to have her and she drives away in the car, you will look like a fool chasing that car because you feel like at that moment you need her. Yeah. Man, I hope you're getting this. So when you come to that conclusion, when you look circumspectly at your life, it naturally, somebody say naturally.
Naturally.
It ain't forced. It's not compelled. You naturally, earnestly seek and pursue God. Stop the foolishness. That's all I'm saying. So God looks over. He looks down and he says upon the children of men, and he to see if there are any that do look circumspectly at their lives honestly and come along with the clarity and the wisdom that they need God and therefore naturally find themselves seeking God. Hebrews 11:6 says, to come to God, you must first believe that he is. That eliminates all atheists. But then you still don't get to join the party of those who have come to God unless you also get the back end of that statement, which is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. And so if you look circumspectly at your life, if you look carefully, you come away with the wise conclusion that you need God. You become automatically, with no compulsion, with no coercion, a seeker of God. You become a God chaser as opposed to a fool. A fool doesn't come to this wise conclusion and realization because a fool wants to do what a fool wants to do. And you're going to have a real hard time cracking that nut. A fool wants to do what a fool wants to do. That's his theology. And so he will craft for his theology. He will craft his theology around a God. He's not an atheist. He will craft his theology around a God that will fit what he wants. A fool doesn't lack a God. He just worships a little g God. He may come to church as a fool and leave as a fool. And claim and use all the terminology and know all the words that make it sound like he serves a little g God. He might dance the best, he might clap the loudest, but his life will tell you he ain't serving the big G God. Because the big G God cares about what you do. The big G God is a supreme, ultimate ethical and moral authority. And if you're not ready to step to that, if you're not ready to be in line with that, if you're not ready to chase God down and want to please him and him only, then guess what? You are a fool. Stop the foolishness. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo. I'm into it. I don't know if you are. You could be serving a little g God. You can believe in God and still not believe that he is God. Don't stop him from being God, but it's about talking about what you got in your mind, in your heart. You won't be able to get around it after today. It's like, oh, man, I'm a fool, and now I got to admit it. Oh, my God, I got some foolishness I need to stop, and I didn't know it. Lord have mercy. It's so easy when somebody else is being foolish. You like, you can just point. And that thumb is pointing back at, oh, yeah, I got some issues too. Man, you a fool. What you doing with your money? Well, how come you still with that man you shouldn't be with? Well, okay. We need to end this conversation. We need to end this conversation. Uh-huh. Amen. So let's go on to verse 3 real quick. It says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Again, talking about your life, right? How do you know a fool? By their life. Because they can tell you, you can't read my mind. Oh, but I got the movie. Amen? Hallelujah. So now we get to the final point. I don't see a clock, but I know I'm making good time. Yeah. Verse 4, this is God. This is David writing on behalf of God. It says, and we're just going to do the first line. That's all we need. Read it for me.
Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge?
Okay. So he's looked down, and is there anybody that has understanding and seeks God? Meaning, has anybody actually taken the time to stop, slow down, pay attention, look at their life honestly, and oh my God, you come to the wise conclusion, oh my God, I need God. So you start chasing after what? God. That is what you do, right? When you want or need, really feel like you need something, you don't run the opposite direction, right? If it's in front of you, you don't run to the right, to the left. You run toward it, right? So when you come to the conclusion that you need God, then you are found, man, wait, you in a hurry somewhere. Oh, I'm chasing God. Oh, that's why you make those kind of decisions. Now I understand why. You didn't do the logical thing. You did the godly thing. You let him be a light, a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, meaning you didn't have to have all the answers. That's why you were willing to look foolish while you were doing just the opposite of being a fool. I'll be a fool for God. Amen. I'll be a fool for God. If it's going to look foolish to you, I'll look all day long. I'll look like a fool to you while I chase God. So I'll let you call me a fool. I don't want God calling me a fool. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to get to my last point so I can keep my record good, since I said I was making good time. He says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge. Here's the key. He's not talking about head knowledge. The word in the Hebrew that's used there is yada. Have all these workers of iniquity no knowledge. So not head knowledge. Oh, yeah, there is a God. They've proven it through science, and they did this, and they went back to the cosmos and the Big Bang. Oh, my God, there was a God. No, no, no. Not at all. All these workers of iniquity, all them fools, and all their foolishness, do they have no knowledge? Do they have no experience to draw on? You would have to be a fool to live on this earth that God created to your very specifications. You would have to be a fool to live in this life and receive all of the blessings that God bestows upon you and upon me.
Amen.
You would have to be a fool to know all of the moments in your life where God's fingerprints are all over your life. You would have to be a fool to have all of that yada knowledge and still fail to acknowledge and recognize that God is God.
Amen.
You would have to be a fool. And not just the God, which he is, but the God of your life. Uh-huh. That's right. I can't do what I want to do. I got to do what pleases him. I got to do what he wants me to do. Otherwise, I am a flat out fool. And I'm not serving Yahweh. Yahweh was here before there was a here, and he's going to be here forever. And he does not answer to you. It should be the other way around. And if you don't want him to tell you what you ought to do, when you ought to do it, and how you ought to do it, and who with, guess what? You want to serve a little G God. You are a plumb fool. The Bible says it. Amen?
Amen?
So like I said when I started out, let me say, if you're still breathing, it's not too late to recognize the obvious in your life and end the foolishness and live life in a way that pleases God, in a way that reflects God, the big G God, so the movie of your life shows very plainly that he is your God. Not just a God, that he is your God.